Hello, fellow Kentuckians and other friends, and welcome to another edition of My Old Kentucky Podcast. Jasmine is not here with us today, but we do have a special guest in Reverend Joe Phelps. Reverend Joe Phelps of Highland Baptist Church was educated at Southern Baptist Seminary in Louisville and returned to the city 20 years ago from Texas to become the pastor at Highland Baptist Church. As part of his work at Highland, he has become a fixture at social justice events across Louisville, having been involved throughout the years with the Wake Up Walmart campaign, the No Murders Metro campaign, and more recently as a member of Empower West, a group of ministers who are concerned with the issues facing West Louisville. In the interest of full disclosure, I'm a member at Highland Baptist Church and have served as a deacon there in the past, so that's a little bit why the reason we could get Reverend Phelps to come here. But Reverend Phelps, thank you so much for joining us
today. Thank you, Robert. I'm honored to be here.
I really appreciate you coming on. And one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you is because you have been in the news a little bit recently. Not too strange for you, but
really?
Yeah. I'm sure that comes as a shock to you. But so let's talk for a second about your recent interactions with Governor Bevin. So listeners of the show will know that Jasmine talked about an event a few weeks ago, but as a reminder, you and many other ministers were invited to Western Middle School to hear the governor's plan to end violence in West Louisville. His plan ended up being for groups of people to adopt blocks in the West End of Louisville and pray while walking around those blocks. And after the event, many ministers who had attended expressed frustration. At one point, I think you even called the event an embarrassment to Christianity. So talk to us a little bit about what in the event caused you to say that and what frustrated you so much about this event.
Yeah, thanks. I have no objection to, in fact, I'm a strong supporter of prayer walks and people praying. Prayer is a way that people connect to God and find power and strength and calling. So I'm a strong advocate for prayer. My challenge and the reason I felt so particularly frustrated was it wasn't a pastor who was calling the pastors together. It was the governor of the state of Kentucky. And while I appreciate the governor's own faith and his own faith stance, when the governor came to talk about a solution for violence in West Louisville, we expect the governor to come as the governor of the state. We suspected that what we would hear is, in fact, what we heard, and that was kind of no plan at all, except for praying. But we were hopeful that the governor might come with some tangible solution that we might be part of, and the governor got us there, lured us there, saying that it was going to be a conversation. Well, it was a monologue, and I think if I had been a white person sitting with a group of white people, I would have thought, well, that's not very much, but it, you know, whatever. When you're sitting with a group of African-American pastors who have been walking and praying for decades, it felt like a slap in the face. That's why it felt like an embarrassment to Christianity. Christianity is more than praying. And, you know, maybe the governor had that in mind. I always try to give people the benefit of the doubt. And in retrospect, if the governor was saying we need to go to learn and educate ourselves and listen and see what the issues are so that we can bring all the solutions we can find, that's cool. But what he did was, in fact, say specifically, this is the only solution. That's not the only solution. That's the beginning of the journey.
Just as a follow-up to that a little bit, you said, you know, if you're the governor of the state, you should come with a bigger solution than just to pray. Would you say that if an elected official is coming to you with a plan of some sort, it should be along the lines of something that the government can do? Is that what you guys were looking for in the midst of that?
Absolutely. It's our conviction that much of the troubles in West Louisville, the poverty that leads to violence, is a result of governmental actions of the past. Everything starting from slavery, well, starting with the founding of our country, slavery, Jim Crow, redlining, all of these things have had a cumulative effect which have left West Louisville in the condition that it's in. So the government broke it. Our government, which is us, needs to find ways to repair that damage.
Mm-hmm. And while the government is certainly us, we have elected officials, and it should be incumbent upon them to at least work towards a solution to the problem?
Yes, to take the lead in resolving these problems. There's certainly, absolutely a place for the religious community, mm-hmm. but in my opinion, the religious community has to transcend those moments when we do mercy in the community, helping sure. feed the poor, clothe those who need it, and move toward issues of justice. Mm-hmm. How can we find out what belongs to whom and give it back to them?
So after the event, there was a lot of news coverage, and the governor didn't exactly stay silent after all the criticism of him that occurred. The governor posted a couple of videos on his Facebook page and on YouTube criticizing both the media and his critics, and he pointed out that as a part of the event, in the midst, and he showed some video clips. He said prayer was only part of the solution. That was something that he said in the midst of the event, and then claimed that he never purported that the event would reveal any big solutions. Do you think that the governor's defense of the event is fair? And tell us kind of what you expected of the event when you showed up.
If that was the governor's intent, and what the governor did in that video clip he put out last Thursday was mashed together several different videos of him speaking to different groups where apparently he did say this is one solution or the first solution or whatever. The video that I saw that I took as my invitation, he said we're going to present the solution. And at the event itself, this was the only solution. There is no other solution. So I don't think the governor's being entirely forthright in that, in his making that defense. But I want to move beyond that.
Okay.
I want to move beyond, you know, you didn't say this fairly or accurately, or you said this that hurt my feelings. I want to get to a new place where, okay, you said this isn't the only solution. Well, we will join you in praying if you'll join us in articulating and putting in place those other solutions.
Mm-hmm.
Let's pray and work together. I don't need to be in a fight with Governor Bevin. I've never met the man, but I assume he's a good man, a good father. He's faithful to his church. You know, there are lots of questions about him, but I want to get to the solutions. I don't want to just be fighting about stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an interesting point. And I think that that's a nice thought to get beyond it and to get down to business. One of the things that I noticed in the aftermath of all of this situation with both the event and the follow-up, both from the people that were at the event and then the governor and then some of the people who were at the event again and just kind of in the media back and forth, one of the things I've been struck by and one of the things I've noticed is that there seems to be a wide gap between different sorts of Christianity.
Right, a real disconnect.
Mm-hmm. And the event included people of many different types of Christian churches. And it seemed like that there was a significant tension between different theological viewpoints and the theodicy of people was very different here. And that might have contributed to some of the misunderstandings or some of the conflict that occurred afterwards. So, you know, obviously there were some fatal flaws in the way that the governor put this event together and kind of hosted it. And I would say no matter where you come down on prayer or prayer walks, this is not a well-executed event. What are some ways that you have found to bridge the gap between people who share common goals? Like I think you pointed out that the governor and everybody that was there kind of shared the goals of ending the violence in the West End. You know, so how do you bring the people together who have those same goals but believe very different things about God?
It begins with one's understanding of God, whether your God is generous and inclusive and broad and big, or whether you think your particular brand of religion makes God more exclusive and small and demanding. That understanding of God gets played out in how you view the world and how you approach issues. I think, though, that while we might want to say that we have common goals, I don't think that we understand the root causes of the issues the same. My sense is that there are a number of people in government, and I don't know Governor Bevin's position exactly, but my sense is that he and others are not in favor of government being part of the solution. They think the church needs to be part of the solution. I'm a churchman. I'm all for the work that the church has to play, but I think the work of the church is to be a prophetic voice speaking for what we understand to be God's justice in the world. We come at the issue differently, both in terms of our theology. For me, Jesus is not just the exclusive way that God only loves people who are Jesus-focused, but God is calling all people to follow in this Jesus way,
mm-hmm.
which is self-giving, generosity, equality, harmony, and that with that comes a real sense of wanting not just to help people who are poor, but to do justice for mm-hmm. people who are poor. And that's a fundamental difference.
It absolutely is. I am a little curious as to how you, as somebody who wants to see these conflicts spoken to, and as a member of a group that wants to have those conflicts spoken to, how can you, with your theological differences from other segments of the church use people who believe differently as allies, or can you? Or can they be part of the solution that you see?
I absolutely think they can, and I hope that we will. I hope that when we invite the governor, which we already have, in fact, to a conversation, that he will take us up on it. We're not trying to throw down on him and try to be in his face. We're trying to create a context where we can work together. That'll take some give and take. I'd love to engage in Bible study with the governor and others because we do share a common book. We share a common faith orientation. And let's look at what the text says. Oftentimes, the group that I might represent is identified as more liberal. Mm-hmm. But in fact, I feel like we take the Bible more seriously than and all of the Bible, not just how one gets saved, but what it means to be a follower of Jesus.
On that point, that actually leads me directly to the next thing I wanted to ask you, which is to say that there has been a lot made recently, probably over the past 13 or 14 months is when I've noticed it. There's been much made on the national level about the emergence of what people have called the religious left. Yeah. And I think people who get tagged as either religious right or religious left, they don't like that label. I think that basically people want to think that they don't like to be put into political boxes.
Yeah. Everyone wants to think they're right in the mainstream.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. But I don't think you can deny that there is a Christianity that looks a lot different than Jerry Falwell or Pat Robertson.
Absolutely.
That seems to be emerging, or people are at least noticing for the first time, as a political force.
Yeah.
So, you know, as somebody who's been a leader, as somebody that named yourself as maybe liberal,
absolutely.
What's your hope for this political force that's emerging, and what are your reservations about it?
My hope is that we can be reconciling and generous with our brothers and sisters who are more conservative, as generous as we are with people who are poor and oppressed and left out. In other words, I don't think it does us any good to try to win this contest by defeating those on the other side. This isn't a contest. This is the movement of God. And I'm a liberal, I guess, but I also believe deeply in this mystery of God, the Holy Spirit, that if people will engage in Bible study and not only talk about Jesus, but listen to Jesus and read the parables and read the teachings and follow the miracles, that they'll see that God is a liberating God. That's where the word liberal comes from, is to liberate. My hope is that the religious left, see, I don't even know the language, the progressive group will help us make wise and healing progress toward unity in the world. I do have concerns about that group. I think sometimes they get so discouraged by the religious language of the people on the religious right that they're almost prone to want to set aside our own deep religious convictions about the Bible, the centrality of the Bible, and the importance of our faith tradition that informs this more liberal, progressive way of faith. So I don't want us to lose that. I also don't want us to get smug. Again, when I say something's an embarrassment to Christianity, I realize that it makes me sound smug. And if that's the case, then I apologize and I repent from that. I don't think I have all the answers, but I do feel deeply convicted about God's concern for all people and an equality that transcends just being nice to poor people, but helping poor people and people who are oppressed find liberation.
Absolutely. That's a great answer. Thank you so much. Okay, so my next question is about your role in the midst of this group. We're both white people that are sitting here and talking about issues related to the West End, which is predominantly black. So talk to us a little bit about your role as a white man who passes a church that's predominantly white, I think is fair to say.
Yeah.
Working with Empower West, which is this group of ministers who are concerned with the West End. How did the partnership emerge, and how do you balance your own position as somebody who's coming from, you know, outside of the West End with the need to speak out? You want to speak out forcefully, but you also don't want to dominate the conversation.
Absolutely.
So talk to us a little bit about how you balance that and how you got involved with this group.
Okay. Empower West started with a phone call from Kevin Cosby. Dr. Cosby and I have known each other for pretty much all through my 20 years of being in Louisville. He's obviously a dynamic leader in the community and a very busy man, so I've never thought to, you know, interject myself into his life, and I've been over in the Highlands doing my thing, but I got a call one day from him, and he said, man, I just realized that the Baptist people I've been working with, they don't have my best interest in mind, and they're really not my people. And I realized, where are the Baptists that came out of Southern Seminary back in those days? And he said, all of a sudden, I thought of Joe Phelps. And so he picked up the phone, and he called me, and we had lunch, and we just decided to start meeting. And he encouraged me to invite some other white pastors, and he invited some black pastors. And we started this conversation 3 years ago, probably this month. And it started as just conversation, mainly education. We would show up every Monday at lunch at Simmons College of Kentucky, where Dr. Cosby serves as the president. And we would talk about the origins of the black community in Louisville and how it got into the state it's in today. We got in the car and we rode with Dr. Cosby through the West End. He showed us scenes, and he helped interpret what we were seeing. He challenged us to read a book that came out when I was like in high school or college called Black Power by Stokely Carmichael. And just the name Stokely Carmichael kind of put a chill through me, because I thought of him as one of those angry black men, and I didn't want to read it. But I read it, and it made sense. And it was consistent with my understanding of the gospel. And Way led the way, and he asked me if I would co-chair this group. We decided on the name Empower West, because that's our agenda, to empower West Louisville. You're right. I am a white pastor of a predominantly white church, and so I see my role as mainly an ally, someone who has a congregation that wants to be part of the work of love in the world and needs to find those ways that we can do so that gets us beyond just doing good things. We will continue and always do acts of mercy and kindness and generosity. But at some point, we have to join with those who are oppressed and help their voice be heard more clearly and broadly in the white community, because we're the dominant community.
Okay. Well, I think that sounds like a really powerful organization. And, you know, as somebody that goes to the church, I've seen a lot of its work. And I think at our church, we've certainly started to confront a lot of these issues, and I think that's really helpful. Thank you so much for coming in today and talking to us. Anything else you want to say?
Oh, man, we're already finished.
Yeah, we are. We keep it tight here on my Old Kentucky podcast.
That's good.
We don't want to waste too many people's time. So.
Well, I thank you for asking me to be part of this, and thank you personally for your leadership role in doing this work of love in Shelby Park and all kinds of places and ways. We don't make any aspirations being perfect about this and doing it perfectly, but we just every day try to get up and pray, God, how can I be an instrument of love?
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming.
Thanks, Robert.
Okay, everybody. I hope you enjoyed our interview with Joe Phelps. But we haven't done any news really that much in the past week or two, so I wanted to make sure we did some catch-up before we left today. So I'm calling this the Epic Quick Hits. Okay, first up, the University of Louisville Board of Trustees paid for a forensic audit of its foundation, and that audit was released about 2 weeks ago. The audit showed some wild overspending on travel, deferred compensation, and it also obfuscated open records requests. If you didn't see this, it was a huge mess. The Attorney General's office is reported to be assessing whether or not the foundation broke any laws. We may get into this a little bit later in a future show, but just know, if you haven't heard about it, it was a huge mess. Okay, next up, regarding the ongoing saga around Governor Bevin's house in Anchorage, the Anchorage City tax assessors said that the value of that house was $2.2 million, which is significantly less than the nearly $3 million that Jefferson County PVA assessed it to be worth. With the Anchorage assessment, the house is much closer to the $1.6 million you paid for it, and it would be much less of a scandal. If you haven't been following the story, you can listen to previous shows, but the governor bought this house from somebody who he appointed to the KRS board, and there was other issues around that sale as well. Okay, next up, Andy Beshear and Governor Bevin are at it again. First, the Attorney General, Andy Beshear, said he would sue the governor over his reorganization of many state boards. We've talked about state boards and the issues with the governor and the Attorney General in many past shows. Okay, so the Attorney General, after he said he was going to sue, he backed off on that a little bit. He said he was going to give the governor a chance to change his executive order, which did the reorganization of many education boards, which are kind of a new thing that he's done. However, yesterday, which was the 20th, Mr. Bashir decided to go forward with a lawsuit alleging that there are still significant constitutional and legal violations. So, like I said, the issue that set off this round between the two constitutional officers was education boards, which the governor is trying to reorganize by adding four non-voting members to the State Board of Education. He's creating a charter school advisory council, a lot of boards that have to do with the certification of teachers and such. That is what set off this entire round of suing about boards. Okay, and just as a catch-up between these two, also a suit between the governor and the attorney general regarding the governor's reorganization of the University of Louisville board is being heard, or has actually already been heard, in the Supreme Court of Kentucky. If you'll remember, we've talked about this in a former show. Judge Philip Shepard ruled against the governor back in October. Okay, next. Morcom McGarvey, who is a Kentucky senator from Louisville, he had a press conference recently expressing support for medical marijuana. Several other lawmakers also expressed support for the idea. There's actually already a lawsuit filed about this issue, which, if that lawsuit won, it would overturn Kentucky's ban on medical marijuana. Supporters of the lawsuit say that Morgan McGarvey's idea for a bill does not go far enough. But Governor Bevin, for his part, has said that marijuana, quote, absolutely has medicinal value, unquote. But he left the issue up to the state legislature to determine. So we'll see. Actually, Senator McGarvey has been the most successful legislator at getting a bill passed by the Republican legislature this time. The only state Democratic lawmaker who had a bill that was only sponsored by him passed by that legislature. Okay, next. State Representative Kevin Bratcher is said to be considering filing legislation that would prevent Louisville's Metropolitan Sewer District from administering a 20% rate hike. MSD says the rate hike is necessary to improve in what they call an antiquated system. This legislation would be one in a series of bills that the state legislature has undertaken to overrule local laws passed by Louisville. And Representative Bratcher was also the chief sponsor of the local schools bill, which would have overridden Louisville's school assignment plan. So he's from Louisville. He is a state representative from Louisville. Other places have called this the war on Louisville. This is another bill which would overrule something that Louisville had done as a local issue. Okay, and lastly, Louisville, the city of Louisville, has passed a budget for this year. We won't get into the weeds of that budget since that's kind of out of our purview, but know that this budget was pretty contentious in its building, but it has been passed. I guess if there is a listener outcry, we will indeed talk about the Louisville budget if we have to. All right, that is it. That is my list of epic quick hits for this week. I hope that you enjoyed the show. I hope you enjoyed the interview with Joe Phelps. I thought it was very revealing and interesting, and I hope you learned something from our quick hits. Jasmine will be back next week. I am not going to be here, but she will, and she will be bringing us a show about all sorts of stuff in the state of Kentucky. If you want to find us, you can follow us on Twitter at MyOldKYPod. You can find our show notes on Medium. You can like us on Facebook, and you can find us in any podcasting app of your choice. Thanks, everybody, and we will see you next week.